Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob here. How are you two jokers doing?
Pretty good.
You sound so excited.
I've actually had sleep today.
Oh, wow. And? I've started sleeping at appropriate hours, i.e. while it's still dark, which is two nights in a row I've done that. I haven't done that in literally months.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself.
Ashley's third shift, and she's on vacation, so our sleep schedule is, like, all over the place this week. We don't know what's going on. If I weren't doing the show, I wouldn't know it were 9 o'clock right now.
Actually,
is it 9 o'clock? Are we on time?
We're a bit late.
Good enough. Close enough. We have a guest joining us tonight. Talking about the game Lumberjack Simulator, Ninad from Exponential Games. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us. For the people who don't know what Lumberjack Simulator is, give us the sales pitch. What is this game?
Well, the sales pitch is it's a game that tries to be something in between Thin Tires, Mud Runner, and Farming Simulator. Kind of has similar features to both. But yeah, I'm pretty flattered when people kind of compare Lumberjack Simulator to those games. But yeah, that's kind of how it is. You're kind of a lumberjack. It's a simulation game. You can cut trees. It has realistic physics. And you can drive vehicles. So that's kind of the big part of the game is just driving. So you're starting with kind of a pickup truck and then different variety of like forestry vehicles, specialized forestry equipment, completing jobs and that kind of thing. That's pretty much it.
Now, we've only had a limited hands-on time with the game so far. I've only put a few hours into it myself so far, but I'm having an interesting time with it. I don't exactly know what I'm supposed to be doing in this game. Is there any plans to like add a tutorial or add some kind of guide for new players who might not know what exactly they're supposed to be doing right out of the gate?
Yeah, it's a common problem. People have that a lot. Well, at the moment, I think the best thing to do is just kind of a search on YouTube. There's a couple of good series about it, like how to start. I've tried making tutorials in the game, but it's extremely hard, and you need to kind of communicate what things are, and it's quite a lot of things that the people need to learn. So I'm still working on it. It's kind of a difficult problem to solve. So I guess there's work in progress. Definitely can be improved.
I'm still having fun. I spent a ridiculous amount of time just in the truck driving around, enjoying the scenery and seeing if I could flip the truck. I got it halfway over. I didn't get it all the way. I tried.
You can flip it.
Could you? Did you?
I haven't, but I've flipped other things.
You can totally do it. Just keep at it.
Is it possible to actually die in this game? I haven't fired it up yet. Is it possible to die in this game?
No, it's like you're living forever there. You're forever a lumberjack. Okay. You know, there's no way out of it. You cannot change jobs either. It's just
okay.
You're stuck being a lumberjack.
So, out of curiosity, like, what was the basis behind this? Like, was it just like, well, there's no like real lumberjack game, so we better make it? Like, how did this come about?
Well, I guess it's kind of something in between the things that I can do, because it's definitely like a first game for our team. So we wanted to kind of start something with no characters or something that we can kind of quickly find assets. And trucks and vehicles obviously have a lot of assets already available. So that was one start. And then we started thinking like, okay, what kind of game can we make with that? and something that is kind of appealing, or something that kind of already exists or out there that has kind of a player base. But again, the experience has to be a little bit more, a little bit unique. So there's some features that other games don't have. So I looked at kind of games at the time where the farming simulator had a pretty decent logging, especially through mods. But then the Spin Tires and then Mud Runner later, they had this kind of really impressive mud physics. So I thought like, well, I could probably kind of do something in between those two and make like a unique game about it. And there was another game that was kind of the Woodcutter Simulator. It was fairly old. I think it was 2017 or something. It wasn't that good. So I thought like, well, you know, this is a reasonable idea. And I thought, well, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Maybe like this project's going to be like a year. That was not correct. It was way longer. But that's kind of the story. I thought like, well, I'm just going to make a quick game and see how it goes. You know, this whole game making, get the experience and, you know, just learn from that.
But and what actually happened? How long have you been working on it?
Well, the original start date was sometime 2019. Actually, the 2019 was the kind of the first launch on the early access. But the development started maybe even like a year before that, and there were some demos. But what made it interesting is that the original plan obviously didn't go according to the idea, because the game was supposed to be like very easy, just kind of create something and be done in a year and then move on to something else. But apparently there was quite some interest about the game coming from the logging community, like people who are actual loggers and passionate about logging in general. They were like onto the Discord channel. They were like, hey, you know, you need to have these features. So the scope just kept getting bigger and the expectations were just higher and higher. So it was just like, became something totally different from the original plan, you know, whatever.
So it just evolved into what it is today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of feedback came from real-life loggers. There's a couple of people on Discord. They're for hanging around for a couple of years, and they know these things. So they're like totally working in the field. They're either driving trucks or they're driving these machines. They know how these things work, and they wanted to make this game more realistic compared to the farming simulator, what the farming has to offer.
I was going to say, so it's like the War Thunder forums, except you're not dealing with classified info.
Well, I guess, you know, they were like pushing the envelope. They were like saying, hey, you know, this is a serious thing. You have to, you know, you have to make it serious. So we ended up making a game for this community that, you know, tries to achieve those standards. And, you know, we're not there yet, but expectations are high.
Yeah, no, because when you had mentioned like the Woodcutter Simulator, one of the things I always find fascinating about this genre is that it's just like, if a job exists, somebody's made like a simulator for it. And like, I hadn't even considered like Woodcutter Simulator. And so like, I looked it up and sure enough, yeah, you're right. They made it back in 2013. It's got mostly negative reviews. And it's just... Yeah, like, and like, meanwhile, it's being sold in a bundle with Agriculture Simulator, Professional Farmer. Like, there's also a cattle and cultivation mod for it. And it's like, yeah, it's always stuff that, like, yeah, I don't think of. Like, a few months back, what was it? Tank Mechanic Simulator? Like,
yes, right. You got that, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know.
Station Repair Simulator? Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, we actually reviewed that like a couple of years ago, and like the person who got it, I was like, oh man, I actually like wanted to try that one out, like just because it sounded interesting. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's real neat that like so often it's just like these games will like come around where it's like, hey, you know that job that like you're never going to do? Well, now you can experience it in this game. Like,
yeah, it's kind of funny and weird at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of the players on Lumberjack, they're like actual real life loggers, so they do the job actually in real life, and then they play the game as well.
Which, I mean, I kind of find that weird. I mean, it's awesome because, like, they're definitely giving, like, their professional opinion about stuff. I don't know. It just seems weird to me that it's like, you know, they'd work at it, like, logging for, like, 8-10 hours a day and then come home and, like, you know, fire up their computer. It's like, all right, well, time to fire up Logging Simulator.
I mean, in their defense, our job is to play video games, and we turn around and play video games for fun, too.
So. Yeah. So if you love what you do, why not play the simulator about it?
Exactly. Yeah. I think the whole experience is a bit kind of meditative for some people. You know, you have the time. Nobody's pushing you most of the time. You're just kind of doing what you want, pulling around in the forest. It's a nice job. I'd like to do it. I mean, ended up being a developer, but yeah.
There's a question in chat real quick. D's Nuts is asking about the forklift, if that's going to be playable soon.
I got that question before as well. Like, I mean, there's always an option to add more vehicles into the game. So it's kind of constantly under development, kind of adding additional features, additional vehicles, and also the game supports mods. So maybe somebody would make a mod or we'll just do it in the base game. There's a lot of ideas, like what kind of vehicles could be added. Another common question is, like, can we have, like, more tracked vehicles, expand into different kind of areas, maybe moving ground around or digging or planting forests and that sort of thing. So just, you know, I'm actually surprised how what kind of the people have a lot of demand for this kind of genre, and that's what I've discovered.
And you mentioned mods. I saw that the game has mod support. How does that work on Xbox?
Yeah, so for now, mods are only on the PC version. It relies on the Steam Workshop. So what happens is, like, somebody would develop a mod and publish it to Steam, and then anybody else can subscribe and play it on the PC. Now, however, Xbox, you know, it will not allow you to kind of get any kind of third-party either code or content outside of their review. So it will need to be shipped with the game. So the plan is sort of like take the top, the most popular mods from the PC, work with the modding community, and repackage them and just publish it on Xbox.
That would be really cool. Yeah, I saw the option in the menus, and I thought that would be really awesome to see what the community can do. Communities will, like, you can have the craziest idea in the world, and your community will find something even crazier and just blow your mind. It's crazy what communities can do with games these days.
Yeah, that's right. And I really thought it would be good to have, like, a game that's totally open. And I know that some of the other developers in this field, they try to restrict the kind of content that other people kind of produce, because there's a review process. And I was thinking, well, I'm just going to say, hey, you know, anybody can work on the Lumberjack mods. And the game has kind of built-in protection that other people cannot easily steal people's designs, which is apparently a big problem in other games. People stealing, like, designs for vehicles and taking credit. So, like, we worked a little bit on that to make it better, and hopefully we'll see more progress there.
So, Aki, you said you put some time into the game. What have you been doing?
Honestly, my favorite. I did a couple of the logging things to get some money, and then I got the wood chipper, and I'm kind of obsessed with that. it's really nice. It's easy. It's simple. You cut down some trees, you cut all the branches off of them, and you throw them into it, and it just fills up the vehicle. I'm for that. That's nice and easy and simple. The rest of these machines, I'm like, I don't really get them.
There's some big complex machines in this game. Like, it blows my mind what kind of machinery is used in this profession. It is impressive how large the vehicles can be.
I've seen some of these, and they're really cool, random fact.
One question I have to ask is, this is such an interesting, distinct, and unique genre. how the hell are there two Lumberjack games coming out in the same week? Like, did you yes. know there was another Lumberjack game coming out? Are you friends with those devs? Do you know each other? Like, what? How? Two in the same month, I might be able to understand, but in the same week, it just, how? It blows my mind.
Yeah, I guess the universe made it happen, but like, no, we're not in contact, and I haven't played the Lumberjack Dynasty. It looks good. I just don't have a strong opinion about it. Based on the videos I've seen, it's pretty kind of story oriented, and the Lumberjack Simulator is more like simulation and driving oriented. Like, there's zero dialogue and zero characters in the simulator game. So I think they're kind of, the theme is similar, but they're basically very different games. But it the same thing happened when the PC launch was happening. I've seen that the PC launch was, the dates were pretty close as well. I think their launch was like in February or March.
Oh, jeez.
And we rushed to kind of publish before them. So I can be grateful for that. You know, it's good to have kind of a goal that
I think
makes
you got them
better.
By a day this time. I think you got them by a day. You're the 29th, they were the 30th, so you got them.
Yeah. So, you know, all the best to those guys. I mean, appreciate it. But it was like, at the time we were planning the Xbox, publishing on the Xbox platform, there were no announcements on their website at all. So we're like, okay, well, this is good. A couple of years passed, you know, maybe nobody's doing, you know, well, like, we'll just do it. And then we ended up publishing almost on the same day. It's so funny.
Oh man, that's fantastic.
I bet there's a ton of people getting kind of confused. I see it in reviews also on the PC version. They wanted to get the other game, but they ended up getting this one or that one. And I think there's a lot of confusion.
Uh-oh.
The stores should have like a policy around that, like, no two Lumberjacks games can be published in the same week. You know, it's a hard rule.
Can you imagine if they limited like genres to one or two a week? Like, you can only release one 2D platformer on Steam this week. 4,000 developers would go out of business immediately.
Yes. Steam is a big platform, yes. Steam probably has more than 100 releases in a day. Xbox, not so much. Xbox has maybe 10, I would say.
D's Nuts is saying that they also apparently found some kind of bug that allowed them to go under the map and spawn on top of buildings. So you might want to get in touch with them, see what's going on there. But Xbox, like, what made you bring it to Xbox?
Well, considering like what is the what are the platforms available? Like, there's the PC and the PlayStation and the Xbox. We kind of thought like the Xbox is closer to the PC, so there's like less of the platform difference. And actually, it is true. Like, a lot of the game mechanics and the code and the content is just transferable from the PC to Xbox quite easily. So the only thing that you need to do is tune the performance and make sure that everything kind of fits on the screen. And you need to integrate all of the live services on from the Xbox platform onto your game. So you need to kind of have like achievements. Stats, you cannot, you know, you need to have like Xbox Live saves, cloud saves, all of that stuff has to be added. And we haven't looked at the PlayStation. It just seems like there's more work, but we're kind of a small team, so one at a time, I guess. But I think PC is a great platform to start with, because there's like a lot of users, and there's like a lot of flexibility in the communities, and a lot of people are available to kind of make mods and all of that stuff. And then later, when the game is kind of stable, which it now is compared to what it was when the PC was launched, definitely is a good decision to do it kind of one after another. It's just the quality. I think expectations on Xbox are also much higher. That makes sense.
You mentioned that you had a small team. How big of a team is it?
Well, it's kind of really flexible. It's kind of a side job for me. I don't do this full time. I have another kind of real job. This is sort of like, let's do something in the spare time and you know, have some fun. And there's a couple of people around that I collaborate with for artwork, some coding, stuff like that.
Hey, everyone needs a hobby. Like, I do this crap for a hobby, so... Like, I wish I could develop a game and then, like, do something actually useful with my life, but nope. Just doing a podcast. Right, Jacob?
Maybe.
Oh, man. So when you're not working on Lumberjack Simulator, what games are you playing? What are you enjoying these days?
Well, I really like games that you can just play for any random amount of time without big investment. So I'm really into Rocket League. I play that on my Xbox. I play a little bit of the City Skylines. Just kind of chill, relaxing game, building some streets, you know, putting some trees around. And before, yeah, I was putting in a lot of time into various games like Space Engineers and some first-person shooters. But then, you know, I realized, like, oh, I'm spending too much time playing games. I could probably do something more useful with that time. And why not try and make a game? So that's how the whole thing started, actually. I was like, oh, you know, I spent, like, almost 1,000 hours on Space Engineers. Well, let's maybe direct that and try to do something, see how it goes. And, yeah, I'm pretty happy with the outcomes.
That's really cool. How's the reception been? You said it's been on PC for a little bit. How's the reception? Are people enjoying it? Giving good feedback?
Well, the launch on the PC was end of 2019, right? So the game at that time was let's say pretty rough, but it was, you know, first release of a game, so based on zero experience, it went reasonably well. At that time, the game was like not nearly as complete and polished as it is today. So the PC launch was like, I'm actually surprised how well it went, considering how you know the state of the game. It was like a lot of things were just missing, and just due to the fact that we have no idea what we're doing and what actually a quality game needs to be. So after a couple of years of just kind of polishing all of the missing things and reacting to that feedback, the game became pretty stable in like towards the end of 2021. Now on Xbox, I think it's obviously much better than the PC. The reception has been good. There's some feedback around minor feedback around sound. Some of the vehicle sound is a bit too quiet, and some problems in like higher levels, like some missions are a little bit difficult to complete, and a lot of people getting stuck in the mud. That's a common thing. It's a really
yeah,
hard thing
to do. Yeah, that's happened to me a few times now. Yeah,
that's like such a hard problem, because like if you make a game which has kind of no challenge in it, right? You cannot let's say you cannot get stuck, right? Then you would just drive through, right? So there's no obstacle, and then it's like, well, you would be completing your missions pretty easily.
What is it? Big Rigs or something? Some kind of racing game? Really old, really terrible PC game that like you could drive through mountains and there was like no discernible start or finish. You just drove in. If you drove backwards, there was no speed limiter, so you just increased in speed forever, and it was ridiculous. So you definitely have to have limits in games.
I have a question about the game itself. I noticed very quickly that my vehicle has been covered in mud. Is there a way to clean this?
Oh, no, there's no way.
You drive it in the river. Come on.
Doesn't work. I tried it, yeah. I drove through a creek hoping that it would clean it off, and it didn't. That's why I had to ask. So it was nice and pretty, and now I'm like, I kind of wanted to be nice and pretty again.
So you need a car wash in the game.
Yes. Yeah, like a hose. Or a hose or something.
Just sell it and buy a new one. Use the cheat code.
I have.
The hose is on the list.
Car wash DLC coming 2023.
Hey, yeah, I can picture it, you know. Next update, now you can wash your car. totally different.
I mean, some people might not care. I do. I think that'd be great, a little addition, because I like my car to be clean. It drives me nuts. I have bought three different cars at this point just so I'd have a clean one, okay?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't think you are meant for logging, Aki.
No, not at all.
It's a dirty job. It's one of the dirty jobs, yeah.
Yes, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Mike Rose.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a bit. Is there anything you wanted to talk about the game that we didn't bring up?
Well, I guess that's it. I mean, if people are playing the game and, you know, they have some questions or comments or feature suggestions like car washing or, you know, birds, or, you know, they want to have like a sidekick dog in the game or things like that. I mean, there's a million of ideas.
If you actually do include a dog, make sure you have the ability to pet it.
Yes.
There is that Twitter account that that'll call you out if you're not able to pet the dog in the game.
Okay. And people are very serious about that.
Oh, yeah. Elder Scrolls Online was just like, we are sorry for this mistake. We will fix it in the next patch. And sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
Even better if you tie an achievement to petting the dog.
Oh, well, too late for that. Next game. I mean,
you can always add more achievements.
Right. I think it's 6 months you got to wait, something like that. I don't know. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Well, definitely the best way is for any kind of news and generally feedback or questions, just search for our Discord. There's a lot of people over there and a lot of people that have played the game and a couple of people that have like hundreds of hours and they know the game better than me. So they could just like help you with anything and, you know, that's one option. Then the usual Facebook, Twitter, but the Discord is where the fun is at.
Awesome, and you're on Twitter as well. I know you've been very active on Twitter.
Yeah, that was that went pretty well. Made some kind of giveaways today and the day before. Definitely is going great. So I'll be giving a couple of more keys during today and the weekend for people kind of engaging with the game. And it's just a fun part of the job is the launch. When everything's working, there's no crashes. The game works. That's good news, and you can just enjoy it. You know,
D's Nuts is thanking you for posting his Twitch the other day, and that you made their day when you posted it. So it's awesome to see you sharing the community and sharing the love out there. It is always good to see the community taking care of each other. It's been awesome having you on chatting. It was great meeting you on Twitter and getting you on here to chat. We will include links to your Twitter in the show notes so people could drop you a line if they are interested in the game. And sell us one more time. Where's the game available? How much is it? Give us the details.
Well, the game is available on the PC. The Steam summer sale is on. So if you're interested in playing on the PC, definitely now is a good time to check it out. Not sure what the price is. Probably
It's $8.99. Yeah. It's 50% off on Steam right now.
Nice.
Right. That sounds about right. And then on Xbox, the launch was yesterday, so it's brand new. So I think the price is a little bit higher, probably around $30-ish dollars US, and in Canadian it's a little bit more. But on the Xbox, you get an additional level that's not available on the PC.
Nice. And,
we'll be kind of keeping up to date and making updates on both Xbox and PC, adding a little bit more content and maybe another level. And we'll be porting this new level that's available on the Xbox on the PC as well, and all of these more recent changes that have been added to the game during the past couple of months because of the Xbox launch. The PC has been a little bit neglected, but we're coming back.
Cool.
Nice. And Carnage is just saying he wants more achievements. So,
of course he does.
You've got those people out there who need more achievements. But Nanad, it was awesome having you on chatting with us. We are going to let you get going so we can move on with the rest of our show. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Well, thanks for the invite. It's been great. And yeah, love to be on your channel. Good luck. And yeah, drop me a line if you have any questions or, you know, you get stuck in the mud.
Well, I do have one more question before you go, because I am like that. Is there a larger wood chipper?
That's a great question. There is. It's coming. It's definitely coming.
I can't wait, because I want more wood chipper.
it's half done. It's half done. But
there you go. The sequel's already written. Wood chipper simulator.
I mean, I wouldn't say no. I'm just saying.
It's coming. Yeah.
Just throw everything into a wood chipper. Tires, watermelons, bodies, everything.
Literally, that is. I've done two things that weren't wood chipping. Everything else had been wood chipping. I love wood chipping. It's nice. It's easy. It's quick. It's fun. I like doing it. Leave me alone.
That's going to be the next game.
I'm at like level 6 or something already. I love the wood chipper. It's like my favorite thing.
So when Wood Chipper Sim comes out, just give us a shout out in the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care. All right, take care. Have a good night. All
right. See ya.
All right. Moving on with the show. News. You ready?
Sure. I'm totally not distracted by wood chipping.
Good.
I totally haven't been playing this game the entire time.
At least you're enjoying it. Big news, of course. It's that time of the month. We're getting PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold announcements. PlayStation Plus, pretty good. Games with Gold, not so much.
I thought this one was good for the...
Did you?
Yeah. I honestly do.
Like, I have three of the games, but they're all good games.
Well, compared to recent months, it's fucking astounding, but in the overall scheme of things, I don't think it's that great of a lineup. And then you compare it to PlayStation Plus, and it doesn't hold a candle.
Well,
let's start. Xbox on Xbox One is getting Beasts of Maravilla and Relicta.
Which I've reviewed both of those. They are both fantastic.
Well, yeah, I have Maravilla, so that's good for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Pokemon Snap, but better.
I got Relicta, and I got that for Christmas last year from my kids. And I enjoyed what I played of it. So for those who don't already have it, like, this is a pretty good month.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that they're cheaper. I think that makes Games with Gold look weak, is that they're only like $10, $15, $20 games.
I don't think that helps its case. I think it's good for games like this to be on here, because lots of people just haven't played the game at all.
That's fair.
So yeah, I think they'd be ignoring it. And it's just like, I think bigger titles would just end up on Xbox Game Pass anyway. So I'm all right with these smaller titles.
Right, well, yeah. Backward compatible. Two games are getting added there. Thrillville Off the Rails, the 360 version of the game, and Torchlight.
Torchlight, I've heard good things. I'm pretty sure it's been on Games Gold.
Torchlight is a repeat, yes.
Yeah.
Torchlight's fucking solid. Well, whatever. If you didn't get it,
it's a repeat, but I mean, the game's great, but
yeah, it sucks that it's a repeat. I really enjoyed it, unlike the sequels. I liked it for being like the bare bones thing that it was. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to checking out Thrillville Off the Rails. I've never played it before, so.
I was hoping it was the original Xbox Thrillville, because I don't own that one yet. Oh, well.
Is that available for purchase?
I believe so. I believe it's $10, and I'm just a cheap bitch.
At least you know
it. Already has like 600 backward compatible games on my console, so I don't need more, really, when you think about it. But
especially since you haven't played even 100 games yet.
But I know which ones I need.
Joe has never played any of his Xbox games
yet. What's an Xbox game? I'm, you know, Virtual Boy only over here, my dudes.
The hell's a Virtual Boy?
Exactly. PlayStation Plus, they are getting significantly more high-profile games. Crash Bandicoot 4.
Nice.
Yeah, for PS4 and PS5. Arcadeageddon for PS4 and PS5. I know Carnage is very excited about that one and won't shut up about it, and I've somehow forgotten all about it, so it's just going to be good. I'm waiting for him to say something about it.
Something.
I'm not going to. Fuck it, whatever. And then Dark Pictures, Man of Medan.
I'm not familiar with that either. That's pretty nifty.
I refuse to believe that.
You haven't heard of the Dark Pictures games?
Dark Pictures?
Yeah, the developers from, like, Until Dawn. Your silence is just mind-blowing right now.
I'm shocked. Especially since a number of people have reviewed those games on this very channel.
Yeah, but they're not me, so I don't really pay attention.
Still seems like games you would have played or wanted. I'm surprised you haven't been like, I want Man of Medan.
Don't tempt him.
Do I sound? I don't always sound like that. I don't have any of these games. Yeah. Nope.
Well, there you go. You need a PS4 and a PS5 to get the most out of the PlayStation Plus membership. Unfortunately, for PlayStation Plus, the higher tiers, they still don't have much in the way of classic games. I think I downloaded like 12 games that I had, and there's maybe 8 more that I don't own. It's not a pretty lineup. Like they're hyping up PS4 remasters of games as classic games. Like Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning is considered one of their classic games. Like, no, that's a PS4 release, you dipshits.
Yeah, but it was a game that also came out on like what, PS3? Like,
okay, well, if it was the PS3 version, that would be a classic game, but it's not. Like, we could play the Xbox 360 version on Xbox Series X.
Yeah, but why would you want to when they have the newer, shinier version?
Is your characters on the old version?
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that they didn't have some way of
like transferring. Using, yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been great, because I liked my character in the first one, and I barely remember how to make them anymore. Not that that's going to stop me from doing so, but...
Anyway, we all know PS Plus is just not as good as Game Pass yet. Hopefully it gets better. We will see in due time. But Game Pass expanded just a little bit this week. House Flipper was shadow added as a Game Pass game this week.
Well, that's cool. I know a lot of people on the PC really like that game.
And then console-less gaming is officially here, as select Samsung 2022 TVs now have the Xbox Game Pass app available. Jacob, I know you talked about this a few weeks back and we're kind of nutting over it. So now it's here. What do you think?
I mean, I still think it's a really fucking awesome idea. Right? I mean,
it is, but it's still, you're relying on cloud gaming through a smart TV. I don't think that sounds like a good combination. I don't know.
But the thing is that it's just like, again, it doesn't require you to have the system. You just have to have an account and a really good internet connection. So if you've got those two things,
really expensive TV.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's just, I think it's pretty cool, and it's probably what we're going to end up with in the, like, you know, 10, 15 years down the road anyway. Yeah. So.
Hey, it helps more people play Xbox games, so rock on. But I'll stick with my console.
Yeah. If we lose consoles, I'll just stick with Steam. I'm not going to get something through my shitty fucking TV. No thanks. Fire TVs are the most annoying fucking things on the planet.
You don't want Luna?
What's Luna?
Amazon Luna?
No.
Samurai
really.
Warriors 5 was just added to Luna.
Dang it.
Shut up. You don't care.
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm like, oh, man.
That's don't you cool. have it on Xbox?
Yeah, but it... Oh,
pretty sure he reviewed it.
Yeah, I did review it. I know, but the thing is that, like, you of all people, like, coming at me like, oh, you already have it on one system. Like, shut up. Like, how many times have you rebought the same exact game? And I'm just like...
And still never played the original.
Oh, well, yeah, I know, but now I bought it digitally, so I don't have to get up off my ass to change out discs.
Now I don't have to stand up to ignore it.
There you go. I just bought a $30 digital copy of the game. I'm going to trade in the physical copy and get 99 cents at GameStop.
No, I don't take that little for games.
Come to me for more hot economic tips.
If I don't get minimum $5, I don't take it to GameStop. I'll sell it on Mercari instead.
Oh my god.
You really like that website.
Fall Guys reached 40 million players within 48 hours of launching Free For All.
Cool.
That's it? Just cool?
I don't play that game, so...
Why? You should. It. Now it's free. And it's on Xbox.
I don't like versus games.
I got my first win.
Congratulations. How many hours did you have to put into that game before you did it?
Not that
from
many.
From what I understand, really. That's pretty hard.
Oh, not that many, nice. Really. I didn't really play it much on PlayStation. I would just like get the free shit that Amazon would give away, like the Amazon Prime gaming stuff. It's like log in and get a bunch of crowns and kudos. I'm like, sure thing, I'll start the game up. All my content transferred over, which is fantastic. Hilariously enough, you can purchase the new Master Chief costumes on PlayStation. Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
How cool is that? Because I was wondering, you can win a pink Master Chief helmet or a pink Spartan helmet, and I won that, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this will show up on the PlayStation or if it'll be like dummied out with something generic. And I loaded it up, and it worked, and up in the corner, it's like, Master Chief, now in the store.
Nice.
Ah, that's actually kind of cool that they're doing that. You could be Master Chief on PlayStation. So cool.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Cool beans. Ha!
We just have to keep getting PlayStation people to buy Xbox-related things, and eventually maybe we'll get them to either force Sony to fucking have Game Pass on the PlayStation or get them to switch sides.
Kavor's just saying you could do the same with Fortnite with God of War and Master Chief. That's cool. I like crossovers like that. Keep it coming.
Yeah. That's kick-ass.
Speaking of things being for everyone, it was confirmed that Persona 3, Persona 4 Golden, and Persona 5 Royal are all hitting the Switch.
Nice.
So they are hitting everything.
I'm shocked 5 can be played on the Switch. the others, you know, they're old enough. Okay, 5, I won't believe that that's going to work until it's on there and working.
Yeah, we'll find out. But it was confirmed that Persona 5 Royal on Xbox and Windows, at least. I haven't heard if it's for Switch or not. The Xbox and Windows will include all of the DLC for free.
Oh, fuck yeah. That just makes me want to review it all the more.
And it apparently makes it super overpowered. So you can kind of like game-breakingly cruise through the game at points.
That is absolutely all I want in every video game I play. Just let me break the shit out of it, please.
Hey, that's what I did with Dead Cells with the assist mode. Holy shit, the game is so much more fun now that I can play it.
Yeah, what exactly all is in the assist mode? Like, you said you'd tell me about
that. Drastically lower the enemy health, drastically lower their damage, make it so when you die you can restart from the area you started in. It just makes it...
Does it affect achievements at all?
No.
I might get this game now.
There might be some that are tied to achievements, but I got my achievements for beating the game.
Nice.
So, yeah, anyway...
I might end up getting the game then, now, with that.
You should. It's on sale this week.
Oh, very nice.
There you go.
If I hadn't spent $500, I probably would.
What did you spend $500 on?
Gundam model pre-orders and fucking a new plushie.
Fucking knew it. Swear to fucking God.
What plushie?
There was one from a company called Makeshift, and it's a little pride dinosaur, and it's super cute.
That sounds adorable.
Yeah, it's a little ankylosaur, which is the armadillo-looking one.
Right.
And I was just like, I want this.
What was the name of the company?
Makeshift, one or the other. Give me a second. I can go look it up real quick. Might be Makeshift. I think that's... I see it a lot on YouTube because lots of... Or on Twitter because a lot of YouTubers get their mascots and stuff.
Makeshift.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounded like you said Makeshift.
I did say that at first and then I corrected myself.
Rainbow Ankylosaurus Longboy.
Yes. That one. That's what I got.
So let's see if we can find out... okay. That's actually not that bad. I was just like, I was going to criticize you for how much you spent on it, but I'm like, oh, that's reasonable.
Yeah, in total, because I get the, because they allow you to buy not just the plushie itself, but also the designs, basically.
Yeah.
I get that just because it's a little bit extra, and if it ever gets torn up, I can have it fixed by someone in my family, so might as well get that. Cost me, I think, with shipping and everything, like $53, $54, something like that.
If it weren't for the fact that my kids have like a shitload of stuffed animals, I'd actually consider getting this for my kids.
It's super cute. They also have some LGBT dinosaurs on there, other types of dinosaurs like T-Rexes or something,
yeah,
which are also cute. And I would have gotten those, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and all these are going off sale in like 2 hours, so by the time our listeners hear this, they'll be gone.
Yeah, sadly, Makeshift only does them limited time. They're all, you have to pre-order them. And then once that window closes, they don't sell it again. So they, you have to hit a certain amount of sales or else it's a failed campaign and you no one gets anything. And all money is refunded and everything. But once it passes that... No money's
refunded. The company takes all.
I mean... I wouldn't have been shocked. It is China. So I really wouldn't be shocked.
That's racist.
No, that's something that's happened before. But yeah, they have lots of cute things. I got a...
Oh my God, the Calico Bakery. My wife would be like, yes, I'm getting this.
I got the three-tailed fox from Epistory, a Steam game that I really like. They had one of those, and I got one of those, and it was fantastic. And they feel really nice. They're nice and soft. They feel good, so I'm all for it.
So video games.
Yeah.
Are you done, Aki?
Yeah.
I hope you know I'm staring at you in the camera.
Yeah, I know. I don't care.
Ubisoft Skull and Bones has received a mature rating, leading to speculation that the game will be re-revealed in July and released this November.
Cool.
Yeah. You want to know what's not cool?
Lots of things.
You want to know what's some bullshit?
Sure.
Capcom announced Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection to release in 2023, including all 10 Battle Network games for Switch, PlayStation 4, and Steam. Not Xbox. You fuckers.
Yeah, I'm really not pleased with that.
Capcom, you fuckers. Like, I'm pissed about this. I fucking love the Battle Network games. They're re-releasing all of them, and they're not releasing them on Xbox.
Were they originally fuckers. Ever released on Xbox?
They were on Game Boy.
Yeah, none of them made it to PlayStation either. Like, I mean, they only got released on GameCube and Game Boy Advance.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so...
No, DS and Game Boy Advance. The GameCube one was a side-scrolling action game, and it had nothing to do with it had to do with the others, but it's not included in this.
I've only played one Mega Man game in my life.
This is nothing like it.
Yeah, this totally.
This is a card-battling RPG.
See, I played the N64 Mega Man RPG game.
Legends.
Sure, I have no idea what it's called. I love that
it's
game.
It's called Mega Man Legends.
He just said.
Yeah, as I said, sure. I don't know.
Oh my
know.
God, I swear to God, Aki. just say yes.
No.
Nier Automata is hitting the Switch on October 6th.
Nice, so now everyone else can upskirt her.
And supposedly it's actually going to be playable and not cloud.
Huh.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't know how well that's going to work out, but...
Me neither. Pac-Man World Repack is going to be coming to all platforms August 26th. So if you've missed Pac-Man World, I don't know why, but good news? Yeah. Square announced Harvestella, a farming RPG for Steam and Switch coming this November.
Yay. Yeah. Another farming game to go into the bucket of 5 billion others just like it.
Yeah, but this is from Square. This might be different.
Mm. What systems is that for?
Switch and Steam.
Yeah.
Mm. Something you will be able to play, Star Ocean The Divine Force, will be launching October 27th for Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC.
Yes. Yep. Okay, so now I know something I'm going to want to have you request for me later on.
We don't get many Square games, so good luck on that.
Yeah, you know, you always reach out and try anyways.
If you're lucky. Despite the fact that Super Bomberman R is shutting down in December, Konami announced Super Bomberman R 2 for 2023.
That's probably why it's closing down.
Yep.
Can we repeat what we said to Konami with Capcom? It's like, you fuckers. Yes. Like, why not just build off the original game? Why do you need a sequel?
Were people even still playing R?
I don't think really? So.
I was actually about to comment on that, because a couple of weeks ago we had also mentioned that Heavy Metal Machines was closing down at the end of this summer, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna log on and see how that, like, you know, if I can rack up any of the achievements. Yeah, nobody's fucking playing.
Yeah,
like, it is a ghost town, absolutely. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm never gonna get these achievements. That's no, fine.
Carnage says people are boosting it on True Achievement, so try getting into a boosting session.
Okay.
Yeah. The Portal Companion Collection is now out on the Switch from Valve. It includes Portal and Portal 2 for only $20.
That's pretty cool.
Nice. Two amazing games for cheap.
Anything related to that entire universe is fantastic.
Yeah. Let's see. Battle Royale Spellbreak is shutting down in early 2023. Also, the developers were bought by Blizzard.
And have already started working on World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And then last bit of news I have is kind of confusing, and I'm not entirely positive on it, but I've got word that MMO Terra is shutting down at the end of the month after 10 years in service, but it's allegedly not affecting the console version of Terra.
Huh. I'm surprised it's shutting down. Yeah, everything I remember was everyone was really impressed with the graphics of that game, especially with the outfits, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I've got mixed words, so I'm not entirely positive if the console version is or is not shutting down, but if it's something you're interested in, you might want to stay tuned for more info as we get it live on the SML podcast.
Well, back in... it looks like the servers got shut off earlier today.
Oh, shit. Sure.
Well, yeah, it is the end of the month, so.
That is true.
Yeah, but I don't, again, I don't see anything about console versions.
There you go. So, well, that's the news I have. What do you two got?
Nothing.
Helpful.
A big old load of fucking dinata. I have reviews.
True. Jacob, news? Anything?
So somebody went off and bought 40K of Nintendo stock, just on the hopes that they'd be able to get into an investors meeting and ask a question about F-Zero, to find out whether or not we were ever going to see a sequel. And while Nintendo was appreciative of the person's enthusiasm, there's currently no plans for more F-Zero games.
Shocking no one. When was the last fucking F-Zero game made? Feels like it's been forever.
It's like, what, like 15 years, I think, at least? Maybe more?
Long ass time.
There? Oh, there you are.
No, I'm gone. I left. I hate you, too.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I hate us, too. Fun.
That's a joke. I can't leave. We have too many reviews to do.
I mean, you could leave.
Are you going to read these reviews off?
I mean, I could just, you know, piss off Aki for the rest of the night. Seems like a good plan for me.
Yeah, I could leave too, though.
No, you're trapped in here with me. Not really. Okay. So anyway, Unity has laid off about 200 of their employees. The free game development engine a couple weeks ago had told their employees that everything was fine, which of course usually is a sign that things are not fine. And this week they laid off about 4% of their staff.
God, they're such.
And
what? Huh? All I heard Aki was go, God, they're
such assholes.
There you go. That worked.
Ginormous fucking assholes. There you go.
And Niantic, the folks who make Pokemon Go, they've laid off more than 80 people because pretty much the only games that are working for them are that Pokemon Go and shit, what's that other one?
Harry Potter? I have no idea.
No, that's ending, remember?
No, I don't remember. Why the fuck would I remember?
Because we talked about it on here.
And?
Anyway, I don't know.
I'd be fine if Niantic just went away.
It was that game that they made before Pokemon Go. That thing's still going. But there was one
before Pokemon Go?
Well, yeah, because that's how they built like Pokemon Go around it. I forget what the heck it's called.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway, they also revealed that there were four games that were in production that have been canceled, including a Transformers game. There was something called Hamlet. I'm assuming based on the William Shakespeare play, Blue Sky and Snowball. nobody knows whether those were the titles for the games or just their code names. And their Pikmin and Catan games have also not done that great. However, they also announced that there's going to be some sort of NBA game coming out. So, yeah. It's just, they're really trying to find
such an accurate representation of how everyone feels about a potential MM or mobile NBA. I can't even get it out. I don't care.
A shitty basketball game filled with microtransactions. That's what you're trying to get out.
No, that's NBA 2K22. This is a mobile, shitty mobile microtransaction fest.
Is there really much of a difference anymore other than, oh, one has slightly prettier, shitty graphics?
You know, I don't know. Mobile games might be better than that by now. I don't know. I really don't know care.
So some of them are, like, if you play on, like, Apple Arcade, like, my...
Not sure if you heard the last part of what Joe said, the I don't care part.
Well, the thing is, like, a bunch of these games could, like, I mean, they could reasonably be on console as well.
I know a lot of them, like, have come to console for Apple Arcade.
Yeah, like, the Apple Arcade stuff's not bad, but I'll tell you what, the rest of it's absolute dog shit.
When they start bringing the pornographic ones to consoles, then maybe I'll start caring. Until then, I don't.
Never happening. Give up on it. I mean, well, I don't know. They're getting close with fucking Switch anymore. Switch. So who knows?
Well, they also had Agony on the Xbox, and that I'm pretty sure that was on the unrated version, and The Witcher 2 and 3 both have a ton of fucking in it. So you never know.
But no penetration. They don't show what you want to see.
You just have to push them in the right direction long enough, and it'll eventually happen.
That's what she said. What other news you got, Jacob?
I think that's any actually Sonic it.
News?
I mean, yeah, of course I've got
fucking Sonic hurry up. News.
Of course.
Hurry up.
I mean, you know, if I want to piss you hurry off, up. What else am I going to do? So Sonic is still making money in the movie theaters, pulling in $100,000 last week, flipping from number 9 to number 14 in the American box office. It's still making more money than Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, and Uncharted.
What about and Morbius? Is Morbius also doing
Morbius much? Is not even on the box office chart.
Good.
I think it got removed, so it's like it's not even in like the top 50.
Good.
Yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home is still making money somehow.
Jeez.
That's not even the most recent one, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is? Came out
back in December.
Okay. When I saw
it's out on Blu-ray and stuff, so you could just buy it. Yeah, it's making money at the theaters, so, you know, good for them.
Yeah, it had all the nostalgia stuff in it, and that's all that matters.
You go, Sony. You make that money. Reviews, we good to do them?
Yep.
Sure.
Well, what?
Sorry, no. I was trying to get a burp out, and then I said sure.
I hate this show. first game to talk about tonight is called Fire Girl Hack and Splash Rescue DX, developed by Dejima, published by Thunderful, released June 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $17.99. Take on the role of a young rescue officer starting her career, armed with a trusty axe and a high-pressure fire hose that also acts as a jetpack. Fire Girl responds to emergency calls across the city. Can Fire Girl save all the trapped civilians caught in each blaze? Can she uncover the truth of why the fires have engulfed the city? Can't find out in a mystery that goes all the way to the top. Jacob, tell us about Fire Girl Hack and Slash Rescue DX.
So with this game, it's kind of, it is a 2D platformer that takes like a 2.5 view at some points. And yeah, so you're playing as this young rookie firefighter. And, you know, you're given your axe and you're given your hose like thing for your backpack, which, as you said, it also acts as a jetpack. And you just, like, you get the call, like, oh, well, this building's burning down. So you have to go in there. And there's these, like, fire demon monster things. And as you go through the levels, like, you get more of a variety of them. Like, and some of them become, like, wall traps. Some of them are, like, these, like, little flying bat things. So on the plus side, there is some variety with the different stuff, like, with the different enemies. And you do have to consider different tactics and how you're going to use your water, because it's not an infinite source. And while there are refill packs scattered through levels, like, there is an achievement attached to not using them. So it gives you an extra bit of challenge with it, because otherwise you just have to wait for it to refill automatically, which of course takes up time, and the building's only going to stand for so long. Plus you have to rescue people. And so you move through the building, you have to navigate your way through the burning building, not get hurt yourself, defeat the monsters, rescue people, which honestly I'm having a hard as hell time with. I have yet to rescue a single person, so there's always one casualty whenever I complete a mission. At the end of the mission, you get a rating, you get money based on, you know, how well you did. You get fans, which I'm not really sure how that helps you out, but it's a thing. The game just keeps progressing on, and I really wish that the game, I mean, maybe it's later that it unlocks for you, like after you've beaten it. I don't know, because I have yet to beat the game. But I wish I could go back and do missions, because it's just like that way I could get I could get more used to the actual game.
Procedurally generated, so it's hard to replay.
It is. I didn't realize that.
Okay. Read the store page.
Oh my God! Shut up. Whatever. Okay. Well, that explains that. Then I am the least successful firefighter of all time.
Not shocking.
So it is possible. I mean, like, obviously you want to get out of the building as quick as you can, and save the person. But, of course you can't, like, at the 1 minute mark, like the chief comes over the radio and is like, the building's about to fall down. You need to escape. Well, you can't go back the way you came. And so hopefully you can figure out how the hell to get out of there. Waiting in an area that you think is nice and safe, like, you know, like a stone basement or something like that, or a stone hallway that seems to be not connected to the rest of the building. No, the building will still collapse on you. And then you get counted as one of the casualties, but then you're brought back and you still get some money to upgrade your stuff. And so there's also more people that you can recruit, after you, successfully complete missions.
What does recruiting the people do?
They're extra teammates who will help you with your stuff.
Oh, so that's actually a really useful thing to have. Okay.
Yeah, there's like 10 or so different characters that you can get. But yeah, it's like, it seems like there's a lot, like there's plenty to do in this game. As Joe said, it's procedurally generated. I don't know. I felt like it ramped up the difficulty pretty quick, but you know, it's an interesting, challenging game. I was not.
And I know you glossed over it, but I really love the visuals in this game, like the HD, 2D, 3D, like pseudo
2.5D.
Yeah, it's just such a really awesome style.
Yeah, it does look really nice. And I've only seen a few other games do this, and usually they're like fan projects that don't look that great. This was done pretty well. Octopath Traveler. Well, I haven't played that, so.
Well, it's on Xbox, so you should.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. But yeah, so if you're looking for a challenging 2D, 2D 2.5D platformer, like, this is a good one, especially since, you know, there's a timer on it for all you speedrun freaks. But yeah, it's not the easiest, but I thought it was pretty fun and pretty cool with what it was doing. So,
well, it's sitting at $17.99. So what do you say?
$17 feels a little steep, but I'm not going to argue with it. It's a good game, and I recommend you checking it out.
It's like they stayed out till 10:30 instead of 10, but you're just going to let it slide.
Yeah. Like, I'd be more comfortable with 15, but nah, all 18, right.
It's all right.
Fine, get my extra $3.
We'll talk next time, but, you know, you smell cologne, you smell like beer. Next game is Autonauts, developed by Denki, published by Curve Games, released June 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Travel the universe, creating settlements on uninhabited planets with the sole goal of setting worlds in motion through the power of automation. Jacob, what's going on in Autonauts?
So, if you haven't watched the absolutely adorable, game trailer that has like the little like robotic song playing, I highly recommend you checking out, because then your heart will melt immediately.
Okay, enough, I'll go look at it.
Yeah, enough that my Aki, she's actually listening to me.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
I actually listen to all of them, as shocking as that sounds. I just don't care about most of them.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Anyway, it was enough that actually, like, my 4-year-old son was just like, I want to play this, and I'm like, oh buddy, like, you are not there yet for this game. I am 37 and I am not there yet for this game. So think of it kind of like a third person Minecraft, or like a top down view Minecraft, with that kind of, like, there's so much that you could do in this open world, like, that's peaceful. And it's just, so you start off and you have to, like, chop down a tree by yourself. So you gather a stone, you gather a stick, and the game walks you through a tutorial if you want to do it. Side note, this is going to be it's a very long tutorial, but there's also, like, a lot of shit that has to get covered. So if you've ever, like, looked at Minecraft and you're like, I wish I could just automate every single process in this, this is the game for you. If you are just somebody who likes to hang out in Minecraft and just fuck around and do whatever, this may not be it. But anyway, so you gather your stuff, you build your table, you gather more stuff like during it, and then you eventually get to build your first robot. But then you have to program your robot by showing it what to do, and that, like, all right, so I want you to go find this tree. I want you to chop it down. I want you to turn it into planks. And so the robot will be like, okay, cool, I could do that. And now you'll need to go get a second robot, because you need a robot to go take the planks and deliver them over to, like, the table or mill, whatever you want to call it, to make other stuff, so then you can make more stuff, because of course, like, eventually your axes break, and so you need somebody who's going to be able to gather the stuff to make the axes, and then somebody who's going to make the axes. You get the idea. And it's just like, this keeps going, like, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually, like, you get robots who can, like, harvest your crops, like, and you're essentially doing, like, terraforming on a planet, and eventually you can just colonize the whole damn planet. There is a lot in this game, so do, like, as beautiful and fun as that, like, little gameplay trailer was, do not let it fool you into thinking, like, this is not going to be a very involved game. Like, this is the cutest simulator you'll ever play, but it is very much a simulator game at its very core. And yeah, but at the same time, it's also a very chill game. But it's, as I said, it's also one that's very involved, because not only do you have like all this stuff that you can possibly do in the world, but you now have all these robots that you have to be able to automate to be able to get all that stuff. And it, once you kind of get the hang of being able to program the robots, it gets easier. But then at the same time, you still have to micromanage everything, because eventually, you know, that robot that you gave the axe to, the axe wears down, or like you have to show them like, you know, oh, well, you can go over here and get this. Like, and it's just, as much as everything is automated, you really just, I'm not at a point where I can just like leave the world to run by itself. And so it's still a very involved game. So this is not something that you could just pick up and play for like 20 minutes. And you know, and then go back and
like, come
back
to clear your schedule for this shit. You can't,
this is, yeah, this is not a game. This is not a pick up and play game. It is not a game that you can like, you know, come back to like 3 months later, in my opinion. Unless like you were already really far in and you got the game mechanics really well. This is a game you need to invest the time into. So be warned about that. But at the same time, I had fun with it. So,
oh, $20, your thoughts?
Really?
Yep.
That's it?
$20.
Oh, that's solid. Yeah. $20. Yeah, definitely go for it. Honestly, I thought this was going to be like a $30, $35 game. So
glad you pay attention when I talk at the beginning.
I don't ever pay attention to you.
Yes. Just like now.
This
like,
is oh my God. This is covered. I don't pay attention to you. Ever.
I know. Next game is Taco Tom, developed by Tin Zone Games, published by Penguin Pop Games, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $5.99. Taco Tom is about to break up with his girlfriend Sally after a disappointing day at the amusement park, but then she dies. Distraught but single, Tom finds interest in a squid named Sapphire. Will Tom and Sapphire start dating? Will he find out what really happened to Sally? The only way he can answer these questions is by making tacos. Jacob?
Is Tom a human?
Nope. He is a sentient taco.
He is Taco
so
Tom.
So he's committing cannibalism. Okay, cool.
Well, no, he's making tacos.
So he's a traitor who feeds his people to other people. Okay, that's terrible too.
Jacob, what's Taco Tom too? Fill us in.
So it's honestly a pretty bizarre game. So as you were describing in the plot, yeah, you are this taco who's taking his girlfriend to the amusement park, and you run into this penguin who's like, "Yo, want to hang out?" And your girlfriend's like, "I don't know, like the best thing." Like, because he's also now showing you how to, like, he's essentially showing you how to play the game. It's a penguin that is the tutorial. And what it is that I don't even know how to describe this, like, what kind of gameplay this really is. I mean, it's like an old retro, like, racing game, like, you know, top down, and, like, you know, you're just, like, going through the course. And you're trying to pick up the ingredients for your taco. There's, like, 5 ingredients. You know, the meat, the onion, the lettuce, tomato, and cheese, I think it's cheese. I'm not sure. Anyway, so you have to pick up all the ingredients, but you can only pick up one of them at a time. And if you get like a double of something, it wipes out everything that you had picked up so far. And depending on the, difficulty of the level that you're doing, you only get to mess up 3 times in a single level. Now, there are various difficulties on this. There's the visual novel for the folks who just like want to like experience the plot, but then you don't get any of the achievements. There is the easy one, which is essentially you just play through the game and you have infinite mistakes. So you won't get a high score on anything, but, you know, whatever. And then there's the hard mode, which is apparently the original difficulty for this game, where you only get 3 chances. And, you know, at first it's okay, but like later on you're going to be like, oh, holy shit, I need this to be on the easier setting. So yeah, so you're moving through these levels, and everything like is dropping down at you and you have to pick them up. And eventually you learn how to like shift or dash through stuff. And so like you're able to quickly dash through walls, provided that it's only like one or two spaces, which is necessary because sometimes like the taco ingredients will be hidden inside like certain block areas. So you have to like quickly dash in or dash out, or if like the ceiling thing is coming down at you or the track, however you want to call it, you'll have to dash to the left or the right, left or right really quickly. Yeah, it's a bizarre game. The gameplay is very simple. Now you can actually slow down or speed up the level as you see fit. And I kept it at a generally slow pace. Now that does, I believe, mess with your score. But
what about achievements?
They're pretty easy. Though if you're an achievement whore, this is going to be a good game for you. But however, if you're like me and you suck at it, you're not going to get 1,000 on this because there are achievements attached to the skill levels, I believe. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a strange game, especially when you consider that Taco Tom 1, if there is a game for like called that, it's not on Xbox.
Nope.
So, yeah. No,
this one's only $6. So what do you think?
It's amusing in its weirdness. Like, it's not the greatest game. You're not going to be like rushing out into the streets and being like, holy shit, everyone needs to go buy Taco Tom. But for $5 or $6, I'd say it's worth checking out.
Cool. Sounds good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's
moving the fuck on.
Yeah. So, all right. Jacob, that's it for you.
Yay.
Go do the tweets.
Nah.
You ho.
Not gonna do them. I don't know. I might do them. Who knows? Might if I'm feeling squirrely enough.
You saying that just reminded me of how fucking useless my cats are.
Feeling squirrely enough?
Yes. Or like, because like chasing a squirrel, my cats like to chase mice, but they don't know how to actually catch a mouse.
Oh, God.
We had a mouse in the house over the past 2 days, and you would just hear squeaking, and then a cat would come running in, chasing the mouse, not catching it, not picking it up, not doing anything that a cat is supposed to fucking do with a mouse, except watch it, hiss at it, jump away from it. We needed a mouse. So we have 13 cats, and we need a mouse trap.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's not fun. Fuck mice. I hate them.
Yeah.
Mice are cute. They're just
Varmints. Cute until they get into your house and like start shitting everywhere.
Yeah.
I've had mice in my house.
Yeah, I have too. It was not fun. Anyway.
He played with them. Anyway, go away. We have more reviews to do.
Farfig Nugan.
No reply. Just nothing.
Yeah, nothing from her.
Well, you do Aki. It so much.
She probably might
just
be
muted at this point just to ignore you.
Or maybe she's seething because she's like, I wanted to say Farfig Nugan.
She probably gave up on ever saying it again.
Maybe. Or I've ruined it for her.
Anyway, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is Phobia Saint Dinfa Hotel, developed by Pulsatrix Studios, published by Maximum Games, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Explore a decadent hotel across different timelines and uncover the dark history of a fanatical cult and your role in their plans. Aki, tell us about Phobia.
Okay. And this, you play as some journalist guy. I don't remember his name because his name doesn't really matter. There's like 3 or 4 conversations where his name pops up and that's it. It just, his name doesn't matter. Just some guy. And you're there to investigate disappearances in the local area. It's kind of like a rumor mill type thing, basically. So he's just there to see if it's real and what actually happened, so on and so forth. And, he spends a week there finding a whole great big bunch of fucking nothing. And then suddenly something weird happens. He's in his bathroom and a black hole basically shows up, but instead of sucking him in, it causes him to lose his memory and wake up in his bedroom, with a lot of blood all over his head. Woohoo! Fun, fun. Now he seems to be in a different version of the hotel. over a year later.
Hmm.
And now he has to figure out how to survive this place, because the hotel is in shitty condition, and now there's monsters everywhere. This very much is like the old Resident Evil games, but in first person. You have your resource management, with, you know, you don't get a ton of bullets. There are some, the easier difficulty you play it on, the more bullets you get and stuff. And there's also an accessibility feature that allows you to get ammo if you run out during boss fights. Otherwise, you're fucked. And, you know, so you have all these different zombie-like things, that are in the building that you can, thankfully, at least on easy, you can clear them out. And you get a few guns, but a majority of this game is solving puzzles. Again, a la Resident Evil. It's like, sometimes you might have to find a chalice and put it in a specific place to unlock something. Usually unlocking another puzzle or something that you have to solve with another random fucking item. But in this, you get a camera, and this camera basically allows you to see the world in a different light. So you might be in a bathroom, and you're like, okay, there's no way out of this bathroom. You bring out your camera, and it changes the screen completely to a green, because it's also a night vision camera for reasons. And suddenly, now there's a hole, and you can walk right through it. When you remove the camera, that hole doesn't exist anymore. Sometimes it allows you to see the past. Sometimes it seems like it's showing you a future. It doesn't really specify exactly what time period you're in any of this. So you use that to help you traverse places, and you use the guns to shoot the shit that's in your way. And there's a whole bunch of puzzles in this. There's so many puzzles. some of them are just figuring out, like, digital key codes. Some of them are, you know, like, bike lock codes. Others are you need to find items in order to place them in different places to get stuff. And some of them are pretty easy. They're, you know, in the same room and stuff. Other ones, you'll find the room where part of the puzzle is, and you're like, I don't know how to solve this. And then much, much later, you might come across an item, and you'll be like, I bet this has something to do with it. And then you go back and, hey, hopefully it does. Otherwise, you're dumb and you've probably not figured out the solution that was already there. Yeah, it's a lot of puzzles. You don't have to do all of them in order to continue through the area. There's three select sections to the game, basically. There's one where there's two of the three sections you play as your main character. And the second section that's in between those two, you play as a guy named Christopher, who apparently was like the leader of the city way, way, way back when, in like the early 1910s. So it's split in between those three sections. The first section's in the hotel. The second one's as Christopher, which is long before the hotel existed. And the last part is in a different part of the hotel that you can't access until you're done with the first area. You cannot backtrack, sadly.
So if you miss something, it's gone.
Yeah, so it's a good idea to make a save. Thankfully, when you go to leave the hotel, it's like, hey, yeah, if you leave, you cannot come back. Just so you know, are you like, are you sure you want to go? So thankfully I was like, yeah, I want to go, even though I knew I had stuff left. But I died afterwards, and so it didn't really matter. Because this game does not have autosaves. Just in case y'all were wondering, this is all full on manual save. That's it. If you forget to save, you're fucked.
Well, the game is sitting at $29.99. What are your thoughts on it?
I really like this game. I think it's super fun, but I also really, really like puzzle games. And that's a big chunk of what this is. The gun combat is, it exists. It's nothing impressive or particularly good or anything. It's, hey, if you stand still, your reticle gets smaller, you can shoot things a little better. If they're closer, you're definitely going to hit them. If they're not, I think it's great. I think if you like puzzle games, you're going to like this. If you like escape the room type games, you'll love this game. If you like old Resident Evil games, you'll probably enjoy this, but I think puzzle people are going to like this more just because of the sheer amount of puzzles in this.
Cool.
There is one thing you need to be worried about if you're an achievement whore like I am. There's an achievement in the game for completing the game without taking any damage.
Didn't go well for you.
Well, so far it's done well, but that's because I refuse to continue unless I've managed to do it without getting damaged. I've spent, I think my current time in this game is like 16 hours. Granted, a couple hours of that was just trying to figure out one of like five puzzles that I had left. And that's ignoring a lot of time that I've lost dying to bosses or after bosses before I could save and the like. There's only three bosses, thank God. But each one has their own problems, we'll call it.
All right, well, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is Last Days of Lazarus, developed by Darkania Works and Grim Talon, published by Grim Talon, released June 22nd on Steam for $17.99. After their mother's suicide, Lazarus returns home to his sister, Lyudmila? Do they say it in the game?
Yeah, it's Lemut. Fuck, now I can't
pronounce Yeah, it. Yeah, see, what the fuck is this name? But unexplained events make the world even reality collapse around him. Looming death, a spreading malediction, and the supernatural threaten his sanity. Yet Lazarus pushes forward to find the truth about his family. Aki, what's going on in the last days of Lazarus?
Okay, you play as Lazarus, and he's kind of a dickhead.
cool. $18. Yeah. What do you say?
Yeah, sure. Why not? In this, your very opening scene, your sister calls you. She's panicking, in tears, freaking out. She's like, "Mom's dead. I need you here now." And he's like, "Why are you calling me? Call the fucking cops." She's like, "Yeah, but I need you here too. I need someone here." And obviously, because he's a dickhead, he's like, "I can't. I'm working. Call the cops. I'll talk to you later. Bye." Because he's a jackass. And yeah, so that's your introduction to this character. He's a massive fucking prick. eventually he decides to come home after a job has gone bad. You don't get to know what his job is until much later, so I'm not going to spoil that. And his sister's nowhere to be found. Instead, he finds a couple letters saying, "Oh, she's at the cemetery because you missed your mom's funeral." Because again, you're a dickhead. And you're like, "Okay, well, I'll just get set up in the house and await her return." And then an earthquake happens and shit, it's freaky. Namely, this weird biological mass of ick appears all over the city, but also in your house, and out of it pops these big weird claw thingies that will swipe at you if you get close to them and shit. And obviously he's like, "Well, I don't know what the fuck this is. This ain't right. No. I gotta get my sister. We need to get the fuck out of here." And then the rest of the game is him trying to find his sister and trying to figure out what's happening and all this other stuff. A good chunk of this game is walking around just picking stuff up for backstory. There are some puzzles in this. They're not particularly hard, because most of them, they actually tell you what item you need, and then you just have to go find it. This isn't a particularly long game. I think I put like 6 or 8 hours or something into this. So, yeah. But it's a story a lot about family. And stuff.
Fast and the Furious. It's about family.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Family.
Except for your dick. I feel the need to point that out. Lazarus is an asshole.
Massive asshole in this game.
Yeah. Like, he's not even particularly nice to the very few other characters that show up. He's an asshole. I like it, but he's an asshole.
Is he enough of an asshole to make it worth $17.99?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I thought the game was pretty fun. I think if people like walking sims, they're going to like this. If you're expecting like real horror out of this, you're not going to get it. This is like a little spooky, but that's it. It's creepy more than anything. So, yeah, I liked it, though. I fully suggest it.
Cool. Next up is Almost My Floor, developed by Potato Company, published by Sometimes You, released July 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. It is not cross-buy, so you gotta buy it separately on Xbox, Series X and S, and PS4, PS5, all that fun stuff. Almost My Floor, point-and-click detective in a frightening atmosphere of sinister nightmares. Each step may end up fatal. Solve the mystery of the house number 9 residence or go crazy. Labyrinth of endless floors will not let go of their victim without a fight. Aki, what is Almost My Floor?
Okay, hopefully you guys don't remember the last time I reviewed this back on Steam a year or two ago.
I don't.
yeah, I kind of figured. So in this, you play as a young man, and he returns home one day, and just everything starts going to shit, and it seems like the world is inhabited by monsters, and he has gone to hell or something. And it's a point-and-click game, and he's just trying to figure out what the fuck's going on while becoming a more and more paranoid wreck who's having a mental fucking breakdown. And it's pretty great. You have to try and solve what's happening to you, what's happening to the world, and how to deal with a loved one's death. It's mostly a point and click. There's not a lot else to it. There are some points that aren't little mini games, basically, where you have to survive things. And each one is slightly different. Sometimes it's like, oh, you have to push the buttons that are shown on screen real quick. Other times it's, oh, you need to push A when this thing reaches this area. If you don't, you die. And they're really small and it moves kind of fast and it's very irritating. Thankfully, every time you enter a room, there's an automatic save that's made. So if you die, you're not losing very much progress, thank God.
That's good.
But yeah, it's graphically, it's very interesting to look at, especially between the standard, like, everyday world and some of the shit he starts seeing, because it flickers between the two for him. Sometimes he's in an area and he's like, oh, this is normal. Other times, it is so wildly different.
Look at the screenshots really, to this. There's some trippy artwork in this.
Yeah, it's very interesting to look at. Sadly, there's not a whole lot of game there. You can probably look at how long I spent on it in Steam, and that's probably about the same amount of time I spent on the Xbox One. It's not a particularly long game. You can beat this in 4 hours, maybe 5, something like that. It's a very short game, but it's sweet and to the point. It's really good at what it does.
Tried to look at your Steam time, and it just says you own the game. It doesn't have the time.
Oh, wow. Apparently, I played it way too long ago. That is very possible.
Like what? Like an hour, 2 hours?
I think it was probably closer to 4.
That's not bad, then. We've had much shorter games.
Yeah, much shorter. I've played much shorter games for review on here, so... Yeah, it's not a bad game. Especially if you go and you look at its art style, if you like its art style, I think you'll want this game. Because otherwise it's a pretty easy game. Even if you don't particularly like point-and-click games, there's not a whole shit ton to this. Everything is also very simple. It's like, oh, hey, there's keys for this. I need keys. It's not like, oh, I need to give a wrench to a monkey so it'll throw a banana that I can give to someone else for a fucking key. No, it's much more straightforward. You just go and find the fucking key. and I appreciate that, because when it's gooberish, I can't stand it. So, yeah.
Well, $10, what do you say?
I'm for this one as well.
All right. Easy.
Yeah.
I like them when they're easy.
Very much
so. I bet you do too.
Eh. I like to work for it a little bit. I'm weird. I like a little bit of Chase, can I say.
Is her name Chase?
No. I've never dated a girl named Chase.
All right, next up is The Psycho Duck, developed by Nib Games, published by Rattleaka Games. Released June 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. The Psycho Duck is a stealth game about a psychotic duck who collects crowns and has no problems killing off all the enemy herons to increase his collection. Distract sentries with your slingshot, surf alligators, help turtles make way, and more. Aki, what is going on in The Psycho
Duck? Fucking yeah!
Okay, and
before you get to that, Raider Biz just subbed on a 3-month streak. Raider Biz, thank you so much for coming by and subbing. That will be enough for me to buy the Psycho Duck.
Woo!
Yay! So how is the Psycho Duck?
It's okay. In this, you play as a duck who is wanted for murder. At least I assume for murder, because in the wanted poster, he has a knife. And he also apparently really likes little crowns. So he looks outside his window one day and he sees a heron that has a crown on its head. And he's like, oh, you bitch, how dare you? So he grabs his knife and goes about stabbing the shit out of the heron and stealing the crown to add to his collection and his body count. And yeah, that's mostly the game. Throughout the game, you have, when you get within a certain distance of the heron, you have to crouch or else it will just fly off, which makes you incredibly slow because you're not Sam Fisher. You're not Duck Fisher, and it's sad. there are, you know, as you continue in the levels, they get guards that move along a straight path that are kind of cheap because they can see you at quite a distance, even above, below, and to one side of them, not the other, thankfully. And they see you pretty easily. They also react to if they hear sounds, because eventually you get to move blocks and stuff to cut off their pathway so you can move through it a little easier. They'll react to that and immediately catch you if they hear it as well. You know, then later on you get other stuff that you can do, like hiding in bushes and stuff like that. It is Rattalaika game, but it's not an easy one, which
no?
is mind-boggling. A bunch of levels are easy, but then there's some that, just because of how far the distance is that the guards can see you and how easy they react to noises, makes some of the levels just really fucking annoyingly hard. I was able to get all the achievements, but I got almost halfway through the game, which is further than you actually need to get before I hit a level where I was just like, no, thank you. No, just because the sheer amount of guards there were in it and the sheer amount of times I had to restart it, because you can't stab the guards to shit. You can stab a heron to shit, but apparently you can't stab a, I think they're turtles. Are they turtles or lizards? I don't remember. They're turtles, something.
I think. Or you alligators. Can't stab them.
No, they're definitely not alligators.
Okay, then turtles.
I don't think they're alligators. God, it's been
I'm
a while.
I'm just going off what I see here in the text, so I
don't okay, know. It might be an alligator. I don't remember. It's been a while since I played this, because I finished this in one day.
Again, well, it's only again, $5, it's so what are your thoughts on this one?
To me, this is kind of a fuck it, why not? It's a Rattalaika game. It's a little harder than most other games, but it's still plenty easily doable.
Is it fun at least? Is it $5 yeah, worth of fun?
If you like stealth games, yes. If you hate stealth games, no, but it's easy achievements.
Cool. All right. Well, go
ahead. That's really what it comes down to is if you like stealth games. If you don't like stealth games, this is not going to be a particularly fun game. But it again, you have to play like 14 levels, I think, to get all the achievements out of 50. So
that's not that many.
Yeah. I got up to like 19, I think, before I was like, no, I got annoyingly difficult at that point, and I was just like, fuck this.
So, all right, yeah. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. George, it's your turn. Hit it.
SML After Dark.
That is right. It is SML After Dark territory, and the final game to talk about tonight is Neko Secret Homecoming, developed and published by Axios Games. This one released April 11th on Steam for $5.99. Explore Neko Town, break the locks, and hack all the anime factory puzzles. Aki, what's going on in Neko Secret Homecoming?
Okay, and this one, yes, you're coming to a village, yeah. You're a Neko girl who's showing up at a village because you heard there's an anime factory and you're a fucking weeaboo. That's pretty much the story. You get off the bus and you immediately find some luck picks and start picking locks to people's houses because that's why. Eventually in four of the 12 or 16 chests or some shit like that, you find one number for a code in four different chests, and those unlock the doors to the anime factory that you're not a worker in and therefore are 100% trespassing and breaking and entering. And in there, you actually get to play the actual game, which is moving the tiles around. Just like the first game, the biggest issue with this is if you quit the game for any reason at any point, you have to do all of the lockpicking shit going around this tiny little city and breaking into each house and then cracking each one of the safes open that are in the houses in order to get back into the fucking anime factory thing so you can do the fucking puzzles to finish them, which is infuriatingly annoying to have to fucking do. I didn't realize that was an issue. I kind of assumed it would save, and it did not. And I was like, so I had to play through that again because the lockpicking is okayish. All of it's okayish, but it's just needlessly time consuming to get to the part that people literally bought the game for. Putting together the puzzles to see the anime titties.
Yeah.
And I'll have you know that I reinstalled the prior game as well, and I got the hentai DLC, pre-hentai DLC for both of them, and I looked at both of them.
Alrighty.
Yes. If you don't have the DLC, you just solve the same puzzle multiple times. However, if you have the DLC, you unlock each one of the different arts. For this game, there's three different arts. There's the standard art that you have in the base game. Then there's one where they're topless, and then there's one where they're butt-ass naked, which is fantastic.
Yay!
And each level gets progressively harder.
Harder.
Yeah. So again, it's another, six or eight girls in two different folders, so 12 to 16 total. Again, while you're doing this, it's much easier to do it while they're clothed because that adds extra stuff in the frames to make it a little easier for you to solve. But it's well worth it to see them naked. You don't really need the DLC doesn't add in any achievements or anything, so solving it just the first time, the easy time, will get you all the achievements in it, and unlocking all the stupid fucking safes give you achievements too. Lockpicking, I don't think does. I think it's just opening the safes, which you have to lockpick to get into the buildings to do that. I like the main part of the game. This, just like I liked in the first game. I don't particularly like all the needless stuff that's before it, though. It's not that they're particularly hard to do, it's just tedious to move around the entire map, because there's, 10 buildings or something like that that you have to pick the locks to, and there's, 16 different chests you have to open, and it's just...
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it's all over this map that... it's okay looking. It's not gonna win any awards for being beautiful or anything. It's just tedious. There's no need for it. people buy these games to solve the tile puzzle to see some booby. That's what it's for. And the extra stuff, I just don't really feel added anything to it. I felt like it detracted, especially since you had to redo it. If you didn't solve all the puzzles in one sitting, you would have to redo the entire beginning part of it again, which isn't that fun because it's tedious.
Well, the game's sitting at $6 and it's actually part of the Steam summer sale, and it's down to, can I get a drum roll? Proud of you. $1.50. What do you think?
No.
No?
No.
Even for $1.50 with free titty DLC?
The tediousness of it just drove me fucking crazy. I hated that. If you don't mind the tedium, then go for it. If you don't like tedious stuff, then this one I'm gonna have to say is a pass.
Oh well, can't all be winners, but boobs. So
yeah, and pussy, because the third one is full on naked.
Yay!
I mean, the drawings are not bad. I'm not gonna lie, they're not bad. But the tedium just, it kills it for me. It kills it.
Oh well. Anyway, that is it for this episode. Made it through. Big thanks to Nana for being here, chatting about Lumberjack Simulator with us. We will be talking about that next week on the show, possibly with Lumberjack's Dynasty. I don't know. We might. It's up to Jacob. See what he does. Music this episode, we are going to end with some Mega Beardo playing Woodman from Mega Man 2. I think that sounds fitting, right?
Sure.
Lumberjack, no. Woodman, get it? See what I'm doing there?
Yeah, you're being
filthy. It's fucking funny!